This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
In the community calendar this month, a Smithsonian traveling exhibit is coming to Portland thanks to the Oregon Nikkei Endowment and the Oregon Historical Society. The American Heroes exhibit features the Congressional Gold Medal, which was awarded collectively to the U.S. Army's 100th Infantry Battalion and the 442nd Regimental Combat Team and the Military and Intelligence Service for their extraordinary accomplishments during World War II. These units were almost exclusively Japanese-American men who served while their families were held in internment camps by the very country for which they fought. In conjunction with the Traveling American Heroes exhibit, two other exhibits feature the experiences of Japanese-American servicemen of the Pacific Northwest. What If Heroes Were Not Welcome Home? And Our Humble Heroes, Stories of Service and Sacrifice During World War II. These exhibits open August 24th at the Oregon Historical Museum and the Oregon Nikkei Legacy Center.
Thanks for listening to APA Compass. We want to say a special thank you to our guests, Asawen Subsang, Bobby Kaine Calvon, and Jean Kwok. Today's program was produced by Ka Herr, Sarika Mehta, Liz Rogers, and Andrew Ye.
Tune in to APA Compass on the first Friday of every month at 9 a.m. here on KBOO Community Radio. If you have questions, comments, or ideas, you can connect with us through our Facebook account. Archives of our past shows are available on apacompass.wordpress.com. Thank you for listening to APA Compass.
This is KBOO Portland, where the time is approximately 10:01 a.m. Coming up at 10 on Flashpoints, devotes the entire hour to the work of Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Alice Walker, including a talk she gave this week on her life and work. At 11, Shahid Hamid hosts a special interview and call-in with Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, Jr. of the Albina Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. On police accountability, the recent Supreme Court decision on Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, and plans for the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you are not a member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today. This is KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Flashpoints.
Today on Flashpoints, we devote the entire hour to the work of Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Alice Walker. We'll feature a talk and reading she gave last night here in Berkeley, California, and we'll also feature a rare Pacifica Archive reading of Alice Walker in 1978 as a part of a celebration of the life and work of poet Muriel Rukeyser. That was my poetry reading, and that recording in 1978 was the first recording I ever did, the first thing I ever did for Pacifica Radio. I'm Dennis Bernstein, all this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to play some of Alice Walker's wonderful talk and reading last night in Berkeley. But I did want to share with you a reading that I produced in 1978, I was honoring the work of the great poet and biographer, former head of the International Writers Association pen, Muriel Rukeyser. Rukeyser was Alice Walker's teacher at Sarah Lawrence, and I studied with Muriel in New York City. And I decided to begin a poetry reading in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, Brooklyn, devoted to the work and the life of Muriel Rukeyser, and I named it after her, and we had an opening reading, and, turned out that Alice Walker lived a couple of blocks away. I learned then that she was a student of Muriel Rukeyser, and she would be delighted to be a part of this reading series devoted to Muriel Rukeyser. It's that reading series that WBAI came, they heard, and they said, you know what? We'd like to put the Muriel Rukeyser reading series on the air. And it started with Alice Walker, and that was my first show. Listen to this. And this is me introducing it, if you can believe it. You will next listen to the poet and novelist Alice Walker reading a selection of her own poetry. The reading originally took place at the Park Slope Poetry Project as a part of the Rukeyser Reading Series, a series dedicated to the life and the work of the poet Muriel Rukeyser. Miss Walker, a former student of Miss Rukeyser, is the author of two novels, Third Life of Grange Copeland and Meridian, and two collections of poetry, Once and Revolutionary Petunias, published by Harcourt Brace.
I want to read you some poems from the new book, and this one is written for my mother. This is called Burial, and the life that I lived was very much full of, you know, people being born and dying. I mean, actually all life is, but somehow in the South it's more apparent. And part of it was the ritual of the burial. This is about my grandmother's burial, and it's one of the, well, up until this new book, it was one of the longest poems I had written. They have fenced in the dirt road that once led to Ward's Chapel AME Church, and cows graze among the stones that mark my family's graves. The massive oak is gone from out the churchyard, but the giant space is left unfilled, despite the two-lane blacktop that slides across the old, unalterable roots. Today I bring my own child here, to this place where my father's grandmother rests undisturbed beneath the Georgia sun, above her the neat stepping hooves of cattle. Here the graves soon grow back into the land, have been known to sink, to drop open without warning, to cover themselves with wild ivy, blackberries, bittersweet, and sage. No one knows why, and no one asks. When burning off day comes, as it does some years, the graves are haphazardly cleared, and snakes hacked to death and burn sizzling in the brush. The odor of smoke, oak leaves, honeysuckle. Forgetful of geographic resolutions as birds, the far-flung young fly south to bury the old dead. The old women move quietly up and touch Sis Rachel's face. Tell Jesus I'm coming, they say. Tell him I ain't going to be long. My grandfather turns his creaking head away from the lavender box. He does not cry, but looks afraid. For years he called her woman, shortened over the decades to omen. On the cut stone for omen's grave, he did not notice they had misspelled her name. As a young woman, who had known her, tripping eagerly, loving wife to my grandfather's bed? Not pretty, but serviceable, a hard worker with rough, moist hands. Her own two babies dead before she came to seven children, to aprons and sweat, came to quilt making, came to canning and vegetable gardens, biggest fields. Came to fields to plow, cotton to chop, potatoes to dig. Came to multiple measles, chicken pox, and croup. Came to water from springs. Came to leaning houses one story high. Came to rivalries, Saturday night battles. Came to straightened hair, noxzema, and feet washing at the hard-shelled Baptist church. Came to zinnias around the woodpile. Came to grandchildren not of her blood, whom she taught to dip snuff without sneezing. Came to death blank, forgetful of it all. When he called her omen, she no longer listened, or heard, or knew, or felt. It is not until I see my first grade teacher review her body that I cry. Not for the dead, but for the gray in my first grade teacher's hair. For memories of before I was born, when teacher and grandmother loved each other, and later above the ducks made of soap and the orange-legged chicks Miss Reynolds drew over my own small hand on paper with wide blue lines. Not for the dead, but for memories, none of them sad, but seen from the angle of her death. This is a poem that my daughter likes. It's called Eagle Rock. I sometimes feel strange about it because it often rhymes, but I'm learning that rhyming is not so bad. In the town where I was born, there is a mound some 8 feet high that from the ground seems piled up stones, in Georgia insignificant. But from above the lookout tower floor, an eagle widespread in solid gravel stone takes shape below. The Cherokees raised it long ago, before westward journeys in the snow, before the national policy slew, long before Columbus knew. I used to stop and linger there, within the clean-swept tower stair, rock eagle pine sounds, rush of stillness, lifting up my hair. Pinned to the earth, the eagle endures. The Cherokees are gone, the people come on tours. And on surrounding national forest lakes, the air rings with cries the silenced make. Wearing cameras they never hear, but relive their victory every year and take it home with them. Young future farmers, as pale-faced warriors grub, live off the land, pretend to be Indians, therefore man. Can envision a lake, but never a flood, on earth so cleanly scrubbed of blood. They come before this rock, jolly conquerors. They do not know the rock they love lives and is bound to bide its time, to wrap its stony wings around the innocent, eager 4-H club. That poem came out of many things. One was that I worked at this place. It is a 4-H club, and I was working there as a waitress and at a time when it was segregated. And it was interesting because the people really had no sense about this huge monument, this huge stone eagle that the Cherokees put there. And it's just an awesome thing. And it was always remarkable that people could come and just take this land and keep people off the land, use the land themselves. And my father used to always say that the Indians would return and they would get rid of these people who didn't understand the eagle. And that was something that kept me going throughout my whole grammar and high school days, the thought that the Indians would come back and how nice that would be. This is a poem that, sometimes you write poems that you later don't believe, and this is one. Expect nothing. Live frugally on surprise. Become a stranger to need of pity. Or if compassion be freely given out, take only enough. Stop short of the urge to plead, then purge away the need. Wish for nothing larger than your own small heart, or greater than a star. Tame wild disappointment with caress unmoved and cold. Make of it a parka for your soul. Discover the reason why so tiny human midget exists at all, so scared and unwise. But expect nothing. Live frugally on surprise. This is called New Face. I have learned not to worry about love, but to honor its coming with all my heart, to examine the dark mysteries of the blood with headless heed and swirl, to know the rush of feelings, swift and flowing as water. The source appears to be some inexhaustible spring within our twin and triple selves. The new face I turn up to you, no one else on earth has ever seen. Thank you.
You have just heard the poet and novelist Alice Walker reading a selection of her own poetry. The reading originally took place at the Park Slope Poetry Project as a part of the Rukeyser Reading Series. This reading was produced and recorded on location by Dennis Bernstein. Thank you for listening.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, that was a reading that I recorded. I produced first ever for Pacifica Radio. It was Alice Walker reading in 1978. Last night, 35 years later, Alice Walker, in a benefit for KPFA, gave a talk based on her new book, The Cushion in the Road, Meditation and Wandering as the Whole World Awakens. An evening with Alice Walker last night. Here she is.
It's always so amazing how books happen. I've been I saw in Wikipedia that I had taken a sabbatical from writing. And it was very funny because I try, but for some reason it hasn't happened yet. And also, I really don't like book tours. So I've made up my mind that the only way I can not have book tours is to stop writing books. And if I must write them, then I don't have to publish them. I think that's really very good. So anyway, I was thinking, so many things today I want to talk to you about. My partner and I were discussing just before we came about a woman that we know who already had three daughters, and she had met a man who was trying to convince her to have, well, as he put it, to give him a son.